there are some fundamental changes happening to the education system in Wales.
The needs of children are changing because the world is changing.
A new curriculum.
Changes to the way teachers and school leaders are trained.
New teaching standards.
And new ways of evaluating school performance.
We all need to be treated as individuals rather than a group of children.
This podcast will get to the heart of what's happening.
Speak to the decision makers.
The world is watching Wales, that's the reality.
And ask them the questions we'd all like the answers to.
I want every day to be the best day they could possibly have in education.
From Welsh Government, this is Addysg Cymru, Education Wales.
It's an exciting time in education in Wales, with the task of creating a new curriculum well underway. But it doesn't stop there. Welsh Government is committed to creating a self-improving education system where schools can effectively try out new ways of working and learn and adapt quickly to changes. Central to this is turning schools into learning organisations. But what does that exactly mean? I'm Mike Bubbins, and in this podcast, I'm going to hear from a teacher involved in making her school a learning organisation to see how she and her fellow teachers are beginning to develop a curriculum especially for her school, and to one of the architects behind the Schools as Learning Organisations approach.
Bore da! Bore da, lovely.
Okay, I've travelled about 250 yards from my front door today to come to Ninian Park Primary School in Cardiff, one of over 160 schools that have engaged with this approach. I'm with Jenny Scott, the head teacher. Jenny, I think every school is a learning organisation by definition, but how does this work, and what's so innovative about this approach?
We're absolutely right, Mike. Every school is a learning organisation. But the difference with this model is it supports schools to adapt to change because they work together, and it allows them to have the capacity to improve through exploring new ways to learning. The beauty of this system is it's co-constructed rather than a top-down process. Therefore, you've got engagement from everybody in your organisation, and it provides you with greater scope and learning opportunities for all staff based on their learning needs. I think the model supports schools to create a wonderful culture and climate to develop pedagogy, which is invaluable in current times when we're working to realise the national mission in Wales.
Right, so how has your school used it?
Well, Ninian Park has been on a rapid improvement journey over the last 3.5 years now, and we found that we've almost been using the Schools as Learning Organisations model without realising it. We started very simply by wanting to reshape our school aims and vision. We took the four core purposes as a starting point and made sure that we involved all the stakeholders, the children, staff, parents and governors, to create a core ethos on which we built a sustainable vision for our school.
And what is the survey then, and how have you used the results from that?
Well, the survey has been really helpful in providing a snapshot of staff perceptions of the school at a specific point in time. It's a really simple online questionnaire which staff complete, and the school is then provided with data analysis giving a clear picture of areas of strength and development for the school against the seven dimensions. All staff, from head teachers, teaching assistants, have the opportunity to complete the survey. So we've got well-rounded opinions, not just a top-down view. It's then fed into daily practice with staff awareness raised, children were supported better, and conditions for learning were improved. A group of teachers and teaching assistants created a well-being base in school to support the children. And at the end of last year, our family engagement officer was trained in family well-being, which will extend our knowledge out to the families and to the communities as a whole.
So what do you think the benefits are?
Well, I think across the group of schools, we've established a well-being network at all levels to share ideas and good practice. It's had an amazing response as an initiative from all of our staff because they've been involved in creating it. They've got that buy-in, and it's given us an opportunity to create better conditions for learning in our school and across our network of schools. But most importantly of all, it's impacted on attitudes to learning and to attendance in school for all children, including our vulnerable groups.
So has it been enlightening? Has it been difficult?
I think it's been an enlightening experience for us because it's helped our school to become more self-sustaining. We're a large primary school. We have about 75 staff here, and it's been a bit of a challenge to ensure that we've brought all of the staff and collaborators with us in this phase of our journey. But it's been really important that we hear all the staff's opinions of our school and how they feel we should take things forward.
So what about the, we talked about the staff there and yourself, what about the children's views, the parents, the governors?
The pupils, well, they're at the heart of everything we do, and they're rightly proud of their school and they really enjoy being here. Their opinions and feelings are at the heart of everything, and we know from talking to them that they feel valued and they feel listened to. They can also see their ideas about learning, improvement and the school as a whole come to life. Parents are really impressed with the fact that the school is continuing to make good progress. They've also got a real buy-in to the vision because they help to co-create it alongside us. And our governors have a deeper understanding of the school's aims and processes because they help to create them. And they're also able to apply their skills and knowledge to the school's work. For example, we are lucky enough to have a school nurse and a local counsellor on our governing body who've given greater insight into well-being from different perspectives of the community.
I think I can guess the answer to the next question, but would you encourage other schools to engage?
I absolutely would. I think the survey gives a clear 360 view of how all staff see the organisation and then gives you clear aspirational goals to work towards in order to continuously improve capacity. And I would encourage any schools that were offered the chance to do this to take it with both hands.
Well, I know from first-hand experience that, like I said, this is my local primary school. I know kids that come here, and I know parents of kids that come here, and they're doing a fantastic job. So keep up the good work. And thanks a lot, Jenny.
Thank you.
The Wales approach to schools as learning organisations focuses on seven dimensions in our schools. Here they are: developing and sharing a vision centred on the learning of all pupils, creating and supporting continuous learning opportunities for all staff, promoting team learning and collaboration among all staff, establishing a culture of inquiry, innovation and exploration, embedding systems for collecting and exchanging knowledge and learning, learning with and from the external environment and larger learning system, modelling and growing learning leadership. To understand what this means in practice, we were joined by Debbie Lewis, who is from the Regional Education Consortium. It's one of four bodies across Wales helping to deliver school improvements. So Debbie, what are you hoping will change? What are you hoping will improve in your schools?
Well, the schools that have already undertaken the survey and the professional learning pioneers continue to work with us in the region to inform the professional learning required for other schools across the region. Many schools are still at that awareness-raising stage, and there will be further training and support for those schools, and the four regions are working closely together to agree those key messages. We're currently working with a core group of school leaders to co-construct this training, and the aim is to engage with schools to develop an honest and effective process for self-evaluation based on those seven dimensions, with the four purposes at the centre, and it will support schools with the cultural change. And all schools will have the opportunity early next year to undertake the survey themselves.
We have got five numbers going on the board. I would like you please to put my five numbers.
Well, we've heard from people making schools as learning organisations a reality. Let's hear from a man who was heavily involved in creating this approach in Wales, Kevin Palmer, a Welsh Government Deputy Director with responsibility for professional learning, to talk about why the Welsh Government have created this model for Wales. So tell me, Kevin, first of all, hello.
Hello.
Why is Wales using this approach?
Well, there's a number of key challenges in what we're doing with curriculum reform, and what we really need to do is ensure that schools are able to take on those challenges. So curriculum reform will imply changes in the way we lead our schools, the way our teachers behave and the way they assess. And taking our teaching staff and our leadership staff through those changes will require them to be really effective leaders of change. So leadership of change will be a key. And professional learning is critical to practitioners at all levels when you enter these times of change, including those who've been teaching for ages. So what we find with the Schools as Learning Organisations framework is it gives us a well-defined framework, well-grounded in research and showing an impact that we've already seen in our work with pilot schools.
What's different about this approach and what will this achieve?
What's different here is that the Schools as Learning Organisations focus, which is on schools, is part of a national approach to professional learning that seeks to integrate and operate across the tiers. So the schools as learning organisations with people in them who are committed to their own professional learning, that goes on up to the regions who support schools to become learning organisations and to help them to assess themselves and improve themselves. They're working within the same framework as are many of our HEIs, our universities, and ESTIN themselves, right the way up to Welsh Government and Welsh Government thinking about itself as a learning organisation so that we can talk to each other across the tiers of organisations in Wales about how schools become better learning organisations.
Have there been teachers involved in the design of this?
Yeah. It's been a kind of multi-phase pilot kind of approach. So initially, the OECD, the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is an evidence-based and internationally recognised authority on many areas, but including school improvement, they initially came up with the framework and they brought the framework in from other sectors. They then worked with our school improvement regions, who are in themselves school improvement experts with a focus on self-evaluation. And then the OECD and the regions worked with schools, dozens and dozens of real settings where the pilot survey, as we call it, the instrument that schools use to think about themselves as learning organisations, where they piloted the survey and started to think about how they develop their own practice as learning organisations. So it's been, you know, top to bottom and across all of the phases, primary schools, secondary schools, Welsh medium and special schools, have all been involved in piloting and then redeveloping the tools as we've gone along.
So it's early days. You talk about pilot schemes there. Obviously, there's a long way to go. So what do you think will change for schools going forward with this new way of working? What are the changes you've heard about so far with schools that have tried the pilot approach?
The most important two that we're hearing about is there's one called the culture of inquiry, which is schools as places where inquiry and criticism, curiosity are encouraged and rewarded in the school. That's coming through very strongly, as is the notion of a school as a place in which learning and collaboration take place. You know, we know that particularly secondary schools can be large and complicated, and we know that departments, for example, can work in isolation if we don't do something to help them to collaborate more effectively, and that's coming through from the early work.
Is this going to add greatly to the workload, do you think, for the classroom teacher?
It is designed not to.
Okay.
The whole point about curriculum reform, the whole point about professional learning and schools as learning organisations as part of that, is that it rationalises workload. It should enable us to do more smarter without having to work harder. So a school that is a learning organisation will obviously make fewer mistakes. It will obviously get it earlier when it comes to managing the changes. So the whole point, really important point, is we cannot add to the burden, particularly the bureaucracy and administration burden of our teachers. We need those teachers to be energetically in schools, fired up for learning. And this is designed to help that.
And will the training side of that, when these things are brought in, will there be time made available for that?
Yeah. There's an extensive programme of professional learning provided by the regions, particularly in schools as learning organisations, alongside the new professional standards. And shortly, the Cabinet Secretary will announce the resources that are going to go alongside that to support teachers taking time out of school to do the work.
Well, a final question from me. Is this approach more sort of cross-curricular? Is the idea that your science department works with the English department, works with the maths department, is it?
Yeah, certainly is. The energy and collaboration and the benefits that you can get from energetic collaboration across departments is a massive benefit in schools. And this is designed to enable and encourage teachers, leaders across the whole piece, and actually across between schools, you know, across clusters of schools, primary and secondary schools, to work together, to share what they find about their school, I was in one this morning. I was in a school this morning talking to a group of 20 Lithuanian teachers who'd come over to look at the system in Wales. And they were really struck by our emphasis on collaboration and networking and on the Welsh way of working together as a community, right, with each other's interests at heart. They were really struck by that. And this is also part of that. The decision about what children learn is made at the closest point to the child. Yeah. Teachers make that decision. So the new curriculum will have a lot more flexibility in it. It'll be a lot more like the curriculum I came into when I came out of teacher training, which is a long time ago. and I know teachers of my generation will recognise those freedoms, they'll recognise the autonomy, and they'll recognise the creativity that it enables them to have in the day-to-day business of teaching children.
That sounds good. Sounds great. Makes me tempted to stick the old shorts back on, to be honest.
You'll be welcome back.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, thanks for your time. My thanks to Kevin Palmer, Debbie Lewis, and Mrs. Jenny Scott here at Ninian Park Primary School in Cardiff. Next time we'll be talking more about the ways teachers and school leaders are trained. That podcast episode will be with you in early 2019. This is a series for people who work in education in Wales. So if you've liked what you've heard, don't forget to tell your peers about us and also click subscribe to get further episodes for free, downloaded straight to your phone when they're published. Addysg Cymru, Education Wales, is presented by me, Mike Bubbins. It's a Welsh Government production.